loving Jesus. Now that could be two things. That could describe something that Jesus does toward us. He is a loving Jesus toward us. And also something that we are to do towards him. It's both ways. I want to talk about the fact that God made us for loving relationships, and I want to talk about the way God loves us with his actions, in his thoughts, about his feelings, and lastly, God's greatest act of love, that of salvation. Next. Oh, there. Right, works. Right, so God made us for loving relationships. Genesis talks about the creation. In the beginning, God, who is Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Just to confirm that the creator is Jesus, we see in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He created all things, including us. Hallelujah. And made us for loving relationships. There was relationship in the Godhead. The three in one, the one in three, between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There was great love, perfect love, always. And that's what he wants for us in creation, between each other and towards him, and that we feel the love that he's pouring out towards us. Relationship. The Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper for him. And so he made woman. Another indication that he made us for relationship. In house groups, we've been studying commandments. And the first and greatest commandment, we're told, is that in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, that is feelings, with all your soul, that is your attitudes and thoughts, and with all your strength, in other words, your actions. And it also has, in another verse, with all your mind, which sort of is a bit the same as thoughts. Well, help. How can I do that? I'm commanded to do that. Wow, how can I do that? With my desire for, first of all, looking after my own comforts and pleasures, and my selfish attitudes and actions at times. How can I do this? How can I do this? Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's helped us. And Romans 5:5 tells us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, to me, to you. The Holy Spirit is there to inspire that love within us. And there's so many other ways in which he inspires that love within us. He inspires that love within us by his actions, by his thoughts, by his feelings about us. He inspires it in me. Hallelujah. His actions. He provides all that we need. He loves us in every way, and providing for our needs is one of those ways. That's action. That's strength. Matthew, in his gospel, includes what Jesus said. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first the kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Out of his loving heart, he gives us the things we need. Those look like things I maybe don't need, but certainly enjoy. Cakes and pastries and things. So he gives us things richly, not just in a miserly way. That's his heart. Wow. Things we need to eat and wear and where we live. God provides beautiful places for us to live in. Right here in Broadfield, we're surrounded by so much beauty. We can go and see streams and flowers and bushes. We can go and see forests. We have just really handy Broadfield stream with the woodlands, Broadfield Park with the woodlands, just over Target Hill, Buchan Park, just over the road, Tilgate Park. There's so much richness to inspire us and for us to enjoy. And that's out of God's heart for us in providing. God's strength, God's actions, God's thoughts about us. The psalmist says, O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think about him? He thinks about you. He thinks about you. He thinks about you and about me. But there are millions of people on the earth. God is infinite. He can be thinking lots of thoughts about you all the time. And lots of thoughts about you all the time. And lots of thoughts about you all the time. All the time. That's what it means. He's an infinite God. What about those thoughts? The psalmist reflects on God's thoughts. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it altogether. This could make us fear. He is a holy and righteous God. My thoughts are so often far from holy, far from righteous, immoral and selfish and, this could cause me to be afraid. His intimate knowledge of me. But the psalmist is not afraid. The psalmist is confident in God's loving intentions. He goes on to say, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How precious are his thoughts about me. How fearful. No, the psalmist is confident, is precious, precious to me. So God's strength, that's his actions, God's mind, thoughts, and God's heart, his feelings towards us. We're commanded to love God in all these ways, and so he loves us also, and his feelings towards us. There's a book in the Bible called Song of Songs, and it's taken to be a picture of the relationship between God and his people. God is Jesus, and Songs says, he has taken me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. My lover, that is Jesus, spoke and said to me, me means all of us, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And again, my dove, that's you and I, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, your face is lovely. Hang on, this is a righteous, holy God saying things about you and me. You as part of the church, you as part of his bride. That's what he's saying to you. He's saying, you're not mucky, awful sinners. In Jesus, to me, God says, you are lovely. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want you with me. He wants us with him in glory. And it said that there in Songs, and it said, tells us in, also in the New Testament, in John, Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And then again in John 17, Jesus prays a prayer. Jesus, the Son, praying to his Father. Will this not happen? Of course it will. This is Jesus praying, saying, I want those that you've given me to be with me where I am. And he says, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you, Father, have for me, the Son, may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus is asking that a love just as great and as beautiful as the love he has for his heavenly Father be in you. Jesus is asking for that. And if Jesus is asking, then he's planning to do it. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. And Songs also thrill, it really thrills me. I was alerted to this for this first by a book which I do commend to you called by Mike Bickle called Passion for Jesus, and he certainly spends a good amount of time reflecting on this, that we as the church, as the bride of Christ, do touch his heart. I can touch the heart of a holy God. He says, you've stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You've stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. That's me. That's the way God sees you. That's the way God sees you. And there's something more that we used to sing. The Lord your God in the midst of you, or something like that, is mighty, he will rejoice, he will sing, he will rejoice over you with joy. Yeah, and it says Zephaniah 3:17. This is God, will sing and rejoice over you. Of course, this is Old Testament. He's talking about his people who were the Israelites then, but who are now, including us, his church. He's singing over you. He's rejoicing over you. Wow. Right. You see, I and you can move the hearts of our bridegroom God. Does that thrill you? I love him. I love him. How is this possible for, as I was reflecting, for me, a sinner, me, selfish at times? God's working on me, of course, but how is this possible? Well, this is because of the greatest thing that he's done for us, of course, salvation. I have got in an addition here. Yeah, perhaps it's in the wrong place. But I did want to note that he saved me and he's working in my life. Many of you, he saved you and he's working in your life. Now, we're in a world that is full of evil. The media, all of us at times, are really not exactly wholly in control of the Lord our God, but the devil has his way. There is evil in the world, but evil never comes from God. God is not the author of evil. I think we really need to get hold of that. God is not the author of evil. We live in a fallen world in which the devil is active. But, I am assured and confident that as Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, in all things, despite what the devil might try, but in all things, he, that is God, works for my good. Maybe not my good by being my comforts always, and there are times when it's not so comfortable, but my ultimate good, that I may become more like him, that I may become more loving towards you, more loving towards him. My good, he's working for my good and for your good in all things. A mighty God we serve. And salvation is the greatest. Jesus willingly gave himself to suffer and to die, taking on himself my sin, our sin. And because he has taken it, an exchange has taken place. My sin on Jesus at Calvary, his righteousness is attributed to me because of what he did. Not because of what I do or can do, but I have faith that what he did on Calvary has made me acceptable, has put me in Jesus Christ. In Christ I am acceptable before a holy God. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. So we are righteous as Jesus in his presence. We are in Christ. And it was all his idea, because he wants that love relationship with you now and in glory. Have you let him take your sin? Do you stand before him well aware that without what he's done, you're lost? Without what he's done, you're unacceptable. Without what he's done, you're a sinner. Without what he's done, you couldn't stand before a holy God. But because of Jesus, because he willingly died on the cross of Calvary, because he willingly took your sin to the cross of Calvary, you are now, by faith, acceptable. You are now righteous. Hallelujah. It was his idea, because he wanted to win your heart. He's won my heart by his love. And I pray that he will win your hearts too. Lord, I do want to pray that by your Spirit, you will touch all of our hearts now and in the coming weeks. You will continue to touch all of our hearts with your love, that you might draw our love towards you. And Jesus, thank you that you say, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. and you command us to love with strength, with our feelings and with our mind. You command us, Lord, we can't do that by ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stir that love up within us. Thank you, Lord, that you've done so many things to draw that love from us. So many things, Lord, that thrill me, because you chose to love me. You chose to love us. It was all your idea. I praise you for it. And just thank you now, Lord, that we go forth in your love, if we just allow that to happen. There's the prayer area. Do come and pray with us. If you want to commit your life for the first time to Jesus, if you want to accept what he's done for you for the first time, if you want to ask him to fire your heart with greater love, and we all need that. I do, continually. We all need that. Hallelujah.